Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. It is season 4. That is right, we are here in the 2026 Fantasy Foot Beer season. I am joined here, as always, by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Stu. How we doing, buddy? Welcome to season 4.
I'm doing well, James. Thank you for asking. Back after like a 2-month hiatus. I think we definitely had an episode in 2026 already, though. I might be completely off, but happy April Fool's Day. We are back. Excited to start season 4. Talking about a bunch of different things over the course of the weeks and months, even before the fantasy season starts. So we've got all of your football needs and news to bring you. But first, James, I just want to know how you've been. How's your hiatus been?
Oh, my winter break was good. I got multiple face tattoos. I am now just covered in face tattoos, all kinds of them. I actually have, Stu, I have your face on my face now, tattooed onto it. I believe you got some face tattoos as well. Am I correct in that?
Yes, it is just a pretzel dipped into cheese dipping sauce, and it's right across my forehead going down to my nose. And then my mouth is the cheese dipping sauce.
That's excellent. That sounds super meaningful. I'm glad you got to have that very important art.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sponsored by Auntie Anne's. only on my face, though, not on this podcast. Hashtag not sponsored.
Awesome. And in a non-April Fool's related thing, Indy the dog is back. He's here sitting next to my chair and begging me to pet him. He's probably saying, please, God, don't do another season of podcasting. But we're here. We're ready. And before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show, we got a few things to talk about. Well, all of the things we had to talk about are news, talking about old faces and new places. But, Stu, I want to know what you are drinking this evening.
Yes. So if you guys remember back before the hiatus, I got some of these kind of like mixed drinks for Christmas from my uncle and aunt. I'm on the last one, so that is very exciting. I thought perhaps I would sample a beer from an up-and-coming brewer here for our first episode, but then as I went to get it from the kitchen, I noticed that it was in the pantry, and I thought it would be much better served cold. So look forward to that. Probably next week. For now, we're just finishing off the black raspberry vodka cocktail from Monaco. It's probably not bad, but I haven't tasted it yet. James, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I am drinking a beer from a brewery that I drink a lot of beers from Sturdy Shelter Brewing in Batavia, Illinois. I am drinking the Robustaceous Imperial Red Ale, and if you guys know what imperial means, that means big alcohol, and red ales tend to be pretty malty. This beer in itself is, I think the best way to describe it is big in every way. Big malts, big hops. I'm almost literally verbatim reading from the can. It says big malt, big hops, big everything. So, yeah, I'm going to be drinking this one. So, Stu, if you have not cracked the top on this one, go ahead and then open this bad boy in 3, 2, 1.
Again, I've cracked the top already. It was just kind of sitting here.
I think I did hear you cracking the top during pregame here, but you know, wanted to give you the opportunity to do that. But, Stu, we have a lot of old faces and new places to talk about. I'm going to go ahead and let you serve on this one. Pick which one you would like to start with.
Yes, we've got a nice little list here of relevant people to talk about. Of course, there's dozens upon dozens of moves throughout the NFL offseason. Some of them fantasy relevant, some of them not, and none more so than Tua Tagovailoa to the Falcons. Just kidding. We'll probably not want to start with him, but we could start with an actually interesting and relevant move. I personally like Jalen Waddle traded to the Denver Broncos from Miami. He was freed from the tank, and now he joins an offense in Denver that is shaping up pretty nicely. J.K. Dobbins is also back in Denver, so they have the same running back stable, J.K. Dobbins, R.J. Harvey, who was a rookie last year. Now to the wide receiver room that has Cortland Sutton. What's his nuts? The younger guy that I can't remember the name. Anyway, Cortland Sutton is the main one, along with Jaylen Waddle. Looking pretty good. The only person that could really hold them back is perhaps quarterback Bo Nix. But out there in the AFC West, the Broncos are shaping up pretty well with the moves that they're making. James, how do you feel about this one?
I'm really excited about it, to be honest. Jaylen Waddle has kind of waddled under the radar under Tua in Miami for a while. Tyreek Hill going there didn't help him that much. I always thought he had wide receiver one upside, and I think this is going to help him get to that. How it shakes up between him and Cortland Sutton, I'm not really sure, but I do kind of think having two gravity wells is better than one. Gonna have less focus on Cortland Sutton now, and I think more on Jaylen Waddle, so I'm really excited about him going to Denver. I will take the next one here, and going with another wide receiver in a new place. There's really a lot of big names, big name receivers going to new places. But I'm going to go ahead and go next one down the list here, Stu. DJ Moore to the Buffalo Bills. So I've had a lot of people asking me about this one, asking my opinions. And I think this can only be a good thing for every party involved here. It's a good thing for the Bears to get what they got for them. It's a good thing for the Bills to finally get a reliable wide receiver. It's a good thing for DJ Moore to kind of get to a new location, new scenery, where he was never bad for the Bears, but towards the end there, he started to kind of cede touches to some of the younger players in that receiving core, and we all kind of know what happens in that last playoff game with the Bears, where a lot of people put the loss on him in a bad route run. But I think that this is a great move for the Bills and DJ Moore. I think that this is going to increase his profile quite a bit, but I do expect the Bills to still probably pick up a wide receiver in the draft. They're not done. You can't really rely on the receiving core that they had last year, and which was really kind of run by tight ends and Josh Allen running. But overall, not as excited as I am for Jaylen Waddle and the Broncos, but still pretty optimistic about it. Stu, what do you think?
I do really, really like it. He's got now the best quarterback that he's ever played with in his life, in his career. He still has the big playability, even though he is getting a little bit up there in years. He's at 28 now. He's spent seven or eight years in the NFL so far. But to go to a team like the Bills that was really lacking for big play potential out of the wide receiver room, I mean, Khalil Shakir or Keon Coleman have, I think, proven themselves as people that are unable to be the alpha-type receiver, the go-to person. They can be possession-style sorts of receivers, but they really needed that big flash that they were lacking ever since Stephon Diggs went out of town. And I think DJ Moore still can provide that. You're definitely right. He was getting kind of phased out in Chicago. You could see it happening almost in real time. And while he was not on my draft lists last year, I definitely think he is going to be one this year. He is, you know, top 15 potential at the wide receiver position quite easily, in my opinion. Could be really, really great things set in store for him in Buffalo, James. Now, as we move right along to the next spot on the list, let me think about what I like. Why don't we why don't we continue with the Super Bowl MVP, Kenneth Walker, to the Chiefs. I was actually really shocked to see this one. I really thought that he was going to stay in Seattle, especially with Charbonnet coming off of injury. He would still get a good amount of the work and prove that he can handle that, just like he did in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. But he decided not to. He decided to leave and go to the... Or do we call the Chiefs the Evil Empire, or is that still the Patriots? Honest question.
I still refer to the Patriots as the evil empire, but I'd say the younger generation probably thinks the Chiefs.
This is the Gen Z evil empire?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now he goes to get to play with Patrick Mahomes, Rashi Rice, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, in a really good offense and a really good team coached by an excellent coach in Andy Reid. Really good stuff for him. There's really not anybody there that's going to challenge him for any significant production, any significant touchdowns, and he got a big bag of money. James, how do you feel about this one?
A little bit conflicted. I kind of wanted more of like a scat back to go to the Chiefs, somebody like Travis Etienne, or I was hoping that Jeremiah Love would fall to the Chiefs in the draft. But Kenneth Walker is, I mean, he's a little bit better than the next best thing. He's obviously the reigning Super Bowl MVP. But we did see kind of Kenneth Walker's big last half of the season kind of covered up the problems that he had with the organization earlier. There were moments where his effort was being questioned, and the split with Zach Charbonnet had kind of visibly gotten on his nerves. So it's not surprising that he left. I just didn't really expect it to be the Chiefs. But with the Chiefs, they get probably the best running back they've had since, I don't know, Jamal Charles, early career Kareem Hunt, you could say. This is going to be a very good fit for the Andy Reid offense, I think. And he can get it done both running on the ground and receiving. So I think this, I don't know if it improves his draft stock more than it would if he stayed on the Seahawks, but I definitely don't think it hurts it. It's a good move. All right. So my next pick, there's a lot of them here. I kind of want to talk about one that may or may not be fantasy relevant. I more want to see what we think could happen with it. And that is, the highest rated free agent quarterback on the market went to the Miami Dolphins. That is Malik Willis. I don't think this is exactly a fantasy-relevant move. Stu, you can tell me if you disagree. But Malik Willis was the backup quarterback for the Packers last year. Showed up in some high-profile games where Jordan Love couldn't go and performed, I'd say, decently well. But relatively highly touted out of the draft, didn't get much of an opportunity with any teams that could give him a legitimate shot to be an NFL starting quarterback, but now he's getting that shot. And I'm sure the Dolphins will draft some quarterback in the draft, probably in the second round or third round or whoever they end up looking at. But new coach, new basically everything after getting rid of Tua and Waddle and assumingly everybody but Devon Achan. But Malik Willis to the Dolphins is going to be a very interesting experiment and test. Stu, I want to ask you if you think in 2027 Malik Willis will be the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. Not 2026, 2027.
Yes, I think 100%. Unless he is, I mean, barring injury or just the most abysmal Geno Smith and the Raiders sort of play, I would say yes.
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, the Geno Smith and the Raiders.
It could very well happen. It could very well happen.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on Malik?
Oh, 100%. I wanted to give you the chance to keep going if you'd like to. I honestly thought this, good for him. I think he showed enough to get this money, and I'm glad that he did. Good for him, just from a personal standpoint. Happy for the guy. I think it is utterly hilarious that they signed him, and then maybe 2 days later, they traded Waddle to the Broncos. So now it's just Malik Willis and Devon Achan as the leaders in that offense. And then it's just a whole bunch of the Tutu Atwell kind of cast off wide receivers from other teams. So as far as fantasy relevance for Malik Willis, he is incredibly intriguing based on his, you know, ability to throw and run. I mean, he's no Lamar Jackson, but the cheat code for fantasy football quarterbacks is those that run, that can pick up first downs, that use their legs and scramble. And he's one that can do that, but you're going to be trusting somebody who has exactly 155 career passing attempts and at less than 70% completion percentage, throwing to people that are reasonably decent football players, but nothing super interesting. And, I mean, who knows what happens with Devon Achane if he's around in Miami for a whole lot longer, or what they add or don't add in the draft. There's going to be a lot of ironing out exactly what we can try to expect for Willis after the draft and as we get into training camp and the season starting. But he holds a ton of intrigue as a very, very late round dart throw, second quarterback, that sort of thing, or in a two quarterback league, maybe a little earlier in the drafts. I think you can reasonably take him at this point, but be prepared to drop him week one or week two. Anyway, so as we continue on, I kind of want to talk about two paired together because, I mean, I'm a big Jahmyr Gibbs guy. I've got him in our main league, as you know, James. And with a couple moves this offseason, Jahmyr Gibbs has vaulted his way into, I think, conversation for the first overall draft selection in 2026, rivaling Bijan Robinson, depending on how you like those two guys. But the combination of, number one, the knuckles to the Sonic, David Montgomery signing, or he was traded. He was traded to the Texans, sorry. As well as a former Chiefs running back, Isaiah Pacheco, signing on in Detroit. I don't think we're threatened by Pacheco at all. He had a nice season and a half, perhaps, a couple of years ago, but his usability, his efficiency all took a tumble in 2025. I don't think he's really going to do anything other than spell Jahmyr Gibbs. There's no way he takes on the amount of role that David Montgomery had in the offense. And he's not going to perform as well as David Montgomery still can. So Jahmyr Gibbs shooting to the moon in my eyes. And then David Montgomery going to the Texans. I really like that for him as well. I mean, it's got to stink to go from the cream of the crop in Detroit. Now you have to go to Houston. And we all know as Colts fans that Houston's just the worst. Just the worst. But between him and Woody Marks, he kind of takes on the Nick Chubb role, but in a better and more exciting way than Nick Chubb was in 2025. I think he and Woody Marks can make a nice little 1-2 punch, and hey, David Montgomery can carve out a nice running back to top 24 in 2026 sort of fantasy finish. James, how are you feeling about both of these moves, perhaps?
You know, you talk about David Montgomery going from the cream of the crop to the whatever you want to call it in Houston, but Houston was a playoff team last year. Detroit wasn't. So
Houston, I don't. Houston's playing in a very different division. Look, I mean, the Titans and the Colts. Well, the Colts started well and then collapsed. The Titans are the Titans, and the Jaguars gave them a run a little bit. But there's a difference between that and then the Bears, Vikings, and Green Bay.
Oh, for sure. And Indy is voicing his approval for you by squeaking a toy in the background.
He's a big Lions fan, that reasons. Indy.
Yeah, it seems he is. But anyway, yeah, I'm not exactly looking at either of these guys to be horribly fantasy relevant. David Montgomery seems like a late round pick to me. Isaiah Pacheco, I'm probably saying, is later, possibly undrafted. But there's a path to both of these guys being fantasy relevant, but it involves injuries. But that's kind of what we look at for our late round picks, guys who have clear paths to production. It's there for both of those guys, but we'll see. My next pick, I want to look at another pair. These two guys in two different positions going to the same team. Both going to the Steelers, and both, I think, with very decent paths to production. Those being running back Rico Dowdle going to the Steelers and wide receiver Michael Pittman going to the Steelers. So I'll start with Rico. We saw him have, I don't know if tumultuous is the word. Up and down seems better season in Carolina. Splitting time with Chuba Hubbard. There were seasons where Rico Dowdle was the best running back in the NFL. There were weeks when he was irrelevant and non-existent. But that's kind of what happens when you're playing for a rebuilding team like the Panthers are. And by rebuilding, I mean they're a good way into it where they're clawing back. So he was playing in games that mattered and was performing well in games that mattered. So just based off of the body of work we have for Rico Dowdle with his time in Dallas and with the flashes of greatness we saw with him in Carolina, I'm really excited about Rico Dowdle going to the Steelers. With Kenneth Gainwell leaving the Steelers to go to the Buccaneers, I think that there is a very clear path for him to... I mean, I think he probably should be a better option to get more touches than Jaylen Warren. I don't know if you agree with me on that one, Stu, but I really like Rico Dowdle as like a mid-round running back so far going into this next year's draft, and we'll see how that goes. I feel pretty similarly about Michael Pittman. Pittman, who has had flashes of being a dominant PPR guy, just very quietly being a wide receiver one here and there throughout his career. Never flashy, but that kind of seems like the exact kind of guy that the Steelers need across from DK Metcalf. And DK Metcalf faltered through a lot of the season last year because, among other things, there were no other options. So I like Pittman there. I don't exactly think I'm going to be drafting him highly. He's probably a later round guy rather than a Rico Dowdle mid-round guy. But we'll kind of see how these rosters shape themselves out over the next month and through the summer. Stu, thoughts on either of those guys?
Yeah, so I feel almost like the Rico Dowdle to Pittsburgh is more of a lateral move. Leaving Carolina, maybe I'm a little more tepid than you are. Personally, I like Jaylen Warren a little more than Chuba Hubbard. That's kind of, I feel like those are kind of a pick'em or a toss-up. But, I mean, Jaylen Warren was almost a 1,000-yard rusher last year. He played in all 16 games. So, Rico Dowdle coming into that, I mean, Gainwell, when he was there, he had to work his butt off to get that playing time. He had to scratch, bite, and claw for every spot that he took on the field, every snap that he took on the field. And it feels more, I guess, I don't know, murky to me than the clear path for Rico Dowdle. I'm still excited for him. I think he can be great in this Pittsburgh offense. But and I'm going to talk about this with Pittman, too. It is all going to depend on who their quarterback is going to be. Because as of right now, good old Aaron Rodgers is working on deciding, I think. He's probably going to be back in Pittsburgh, but we don't technically know for sure at this point. And then otherwise, you would be talking about, it'd have to be like Mason Rudolph, who's, I think, still back there, and nothing, or something out of the draft, and nothing out of the draft is going to be super exciting if it's going to fall to Pittsburgh. So I think I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but I'm a little more tepid on both of them overall until we get a little bit more clarity. Rico Dowdle over Michael Pittman, but at the very least, they extended Michael Pittman, and he has the opportunity to be what he once was in Indianapolis, but failed to do ever since he hurt his back. He was a different player after he hurt his back, and if he can get back to it, that would be awesome. Big fan of Michael Pittman. Hope he succeeds. But we really need a little bit more, you know, insight into how it's going to be until I make a real final decision on where I want to be taking these guys in drafts. Moving on, let's talk about another wide receiver in a new space. He has one ring. He's looking for another. He's a Hall of Famer. He finally lost his 1,000 yards for every season last year just because he was injured so much. Now he gets to go to the 49ers and be injured some more. It's Mike Evans going to the San Francisco 49ers. In a team that has lost George Kittle to an Achilles injury, he may not be ready to start the season. They've got a new red zone threat in Mike Evans for Brock Purdy to throw to. A red zone threat that they just really have not had for a very, very long time, as long as I can remember. I would expect him to kind of fill the Davante Adams role if he can stay on the field, catch a lot of touchdowns, but maybe not be, you know, catching that many, I guess. Excited for it. Big Mike Evans fan. We have to see exactly how healthy he's going to be over the course of an entire season, because it's gotten worse over time and as he's gotten older, but he's on a good team, a team that boasts Christian McCaffrey, should be a very effective offense. He plays in good conditions. They should be playing for a playoff spot in a very tight NFC West division outside of Arizona. So a lot of things can happen, but it's going to be weird as all get out to see Mike Evans in another uniform. James, how are you feeling about this one?
Absolutely going to be weird as hell. One of the best to ever do it. We, at multiple points during the season last year, were talking about him and his career being finished, and now he's looking to have what should probably be a pretty big role in San Francisco. I honestly have no idea what to think about this move. He is someone who he did show later in the season that he's still got it. He's still got the moves. He can still make crazy circus catches and be a very reliable player, which is his whole MO. He is probably the most reliable wide receiver. Do I want to say the most reliable receiver all time? Because that's like what he is. He didn't need to be flashy. He was just great by doing everything right all the time. But I think he provides a really solid safety net for Brock Purdy. Like you said, he's a type of player that the 49ers haven't had since, dare I say, Jerry Rice. he's just an incredible player, but I do not know yet what to think of him in terms of draft stock or what his fantasy relevance is going to be. It's just too early to tell. And honestly, I think that the speculation markets for drafts are going to vary wildly. If you start mock drafting right now, or accurately right after the draft later this month, you might see him going late, and then you might see him going higher, and then you might see him going late again. It could be all over the place, and I expect every ranking maker to put him somewhere different. So just keep your ear to the ground on that one, and we'll see. But Stu, I think we got time for one more. And do I want to do a serious one or a not serious one?
Do not serious. There aren't that many serious ones left. I mean, Kenneth Gainwell to the Buccaneers could be interesting, but that's not super serious.
Yeah, if I was going to do a serious one, it'd be Kenneth Gainwell to the Bucs. He does have, like I said, a clear path to production, but he's got to fight Bucky Irving for it. Could talk about Rashad White to the Commanders. Serious non-fantasy player for us is Tyler Linderbaum to the Raiders to try and help Fernando Mendoza. But let's talk a quarterback. Let's talk about the one you didn't want to talk about earlier. Actually, no, I've got one that's actually not on our list. I was going to say Tua. I want to talk about Kyler Murray.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I want to talk about Kyler Murray to the Vikings. I've started swimming to work out, and that, for some reason, was all I could think about while I was swimming today, was I'm going to talk about Kyler Murray today, and I'm going to talk about how he probably makes Justin Jefferson good again. But he can also be really, really bad, and the Vikings' offensive line can be bad. And is Kevin O'Connell going to move on from J.J. McCarthy? Of course he's going to move on from J.J. McCarthy. He's J.J. McCarthy. But they ran him out there so many times last year. There's just so many things to think about with this. I think I'm not going to die on the hill that Kyler Murray brings Justin Jefferson back into the wide receiver one conversation. But I'm going to start walking up that hill. So, Stu, where in relation to that hill do you find yourself?
I am huddled in a fetal position, maybe a quarter of the way up the hill, shaking back and forth, because I think Justin Jefferson would be the most terrifying person to walk out of the first round with in 2026.
Yeah. He can't go in the first round right now, right?
I don't think I would take him. I probably would, but I would not like it at all. I mean, Kyler Murray played himself out of Arizona, and J.J. McCarthy is J.J. McCarthy.
Now, despite the fact that Kyler Murray had plenty of receivers to work with in Arizona and didn't really make much use of any of them, he didn't have Kevin O'Connell, who we think of as being the quarterback whisperer. He's the guy who fixed Sam Darnold.
Can't fix J.J. McCarthy. Is he the quarterback whisperer, or is J.J. that bad?
I think J.J.'s that bad. But Kyler Murray, we at least know that he has tools to work with. So if he doesn't show improvement very early, he's probably going to be out of the league pretty quickly. But man, it's a tough hill to think about where you are on it. I think I'm starting to make my way up that hill. I'm a huge Justin Jefferson fan. I really hope the Vikings trade him. I really want him to be able to be as good as he is. But that's getting close to all of the news we have time for here. Other ones we didn't hit was Justin Fields, now the backup quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. If Patrick Mahomes isn't ready to go at the start of the season, he may see some time. And Geno Smith going back to the Jets. That's kind of a depressing thing to think about, having to escape the Jets and then being forced to go back. But Stu, how about to wrap things up here real quick, let's answer one fantasy FAQ before we quit. So I got a beginner question for you.
Okay.
Let's see if you can answer a beginner question. For frequently asked fantasy football questions, what is standard and PPR scoring, and which is better?
Sure. So PPR, it's just good to know what it's called and what the acronym stands for. It is point per reception. It's an effort to make wide receivers or tight ends a little bit as valuable as a running back, because the running back tends to be a little bit more valuable in standard scoring. So a person who catches a pass, whether it's for 100 yards or a half a yard or a negative yard, you get one singular point. You do not get that in standard. Standard is purely how many yards you get, you know, over the course of the game. Say you get 76, you get 7.6 points for that generally. So the scoring is a bit subdued in standard, a little bit higher in PPR. I have played in both across my career many, many times, and I will always prefer point per reception leagues. A half point per reception league tends to even things out a little bit more. That one just seems boring to me, and standard honestly feels like teeth pulling at this point. I want to see big number. I play fantasy football for big number. My big number bigger than your number. That's what I want. But that is what standard is and what PPR scoring is, and my preference is personally. James, hit me with your preference, because I know it's PPR.
It is PPR, but as far as the which is better, obviously it's a subjective thing. But as far as what even is standard scoring, there are fantasy providers that do now list PPR as being standard. Over the last 10 years, it really has, if not more than the last 10 years, it really has become the norm to use points per reception. It's just knowing how your league chooses to deal with receivers. And you even now have further variations on the PPR format, such as a tight end premium, which may have tight ends getting 2 points per reception as opposed to 1 point for everybody else. Or it could be no extra points for everybody else and then PPR for tight ends only. So there's a lot of different ways you can use it, but I think any way that you can make the play on the field better reflected in your fantasy scoring is what is better for the game. But with that, Stu, I think next couple weeks we're going to be doing more fantasy FAQs. We got a list of them, and we're going to continue compiling more, and we're going to hit your listeners' frequently asked questions, things they want to know about fantasy football before we get into draft prep at the end of the month. So, Stu, closing thoughts for us here tonight.
We are still on socials. We are on X. We are on Instagram at Fantasy Footbeer on both platforms. You can reach out to us and ask your fantasy FAQ. What do you want to know? What do you want us to answer in these lead-up weeks to draft prep? Always excited to interact with people, excited to know what your thoughts are, all the people that are paying attention to fantasy football here in the first week of April. You all are my people. We take beer recommendations. If you have a favorite beer, you want us to try it on the air for the first time or the 10th time, reach out to us at fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. You can also ask your questions there if you prefer a less public platform. But otherwise, happy to be back. Excited for Season 4 of Fantasy Foot Beer. Ready for the 2026-2027 NFL season. James, take us home for the evening.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Stu, for embarking on this journey of fantasy football with me again. Whether you guys realize it or not, football is back. Is it back? It's not really back. But it's kind of back because we're back because Fantasy Foot Beer is back. And we are going to be back all year long. We're going to be hitting all the fantasy football stuff that you want to hear about, you want to talk about, and we want to hear from you. And if you are less of a podcast person and more of a written word person, we've also got a blog at fantasyfootbeer.com. I've got some stuff in there. I'm going to do my best to try to talk Stu into writing some stuff in there as well. But we are very excited to dive into this new season with you all. And with that, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Indy the dog, for did Pixel make any noises to that? All right, Pixel the cat gets a credit in this one. And for all of the lovely Fantasy Football listeners, I am James Kemp. Good night and good talk.